Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. But not through
the microphone. Maybe not.
Can you close the curtain, please?
The title.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming so early.
Yeah.
It was a struggle. What I've got projected on the screen is an image of the configuration of mass on the laptop in front of me. And it shows a collection of software devices. The arrows show the data path. There are several modules underneath, which we also call devices, which don't seem to be connected to the data path, but they are critical components of the control pathway. What I've done is I have a laptop here and a laptop over on the floor. They're connected by a crossover cable. MASS allows you to control the flow of media data and the flow of media control data across an IP network. This pathway is an audio pathway. And what that means, so far as the white arrows on the screen are concerned, is that the packets contain audio data. The packets are stripped down RTP packets. And the device at the bottom, which, contrary to Matthias Etrich's suggestions yesterday, is abbreviated with SCH, is what we call our scheduler. It's essentially a router. And all of the data passes through, in fact, all of the actions that are taken to move data in this pathway are executed by the scheduler. That scheduler knows nothing about the data type in the packets that are being moved. I will show you nothing but the movement of audio packets. But as those of you who've worked with media are aware, the most critical condition for the most critical medium that has to be tested to show the success of data transport in a media system is audio data. If you drop one frame from 44,000, you hear it. In video data movement, if you drop one frame in 30, you're lucky if you see it. So, what we've put 5 years of work into is by using audio data as the medium for testing and development. We've constructed a system that allows you to control the movement of data across the network. And in fact, although we don't show it here, it's possible, I'll add something to this diagram in a minute. MASS is able to synchronize paths because all of the movement between the modules that are displayed on the screen are caused by the scheduler. The scheduler's moving pointers. It's a very efficient and lean operation. It costs very little. It means that we have, and I can show you just how detailed, we have exquisite control over all of the characteristics of that data packet at every point in the pathway. We can extract as much of that data or control as much data as we wish by actions defined by this assembler, which is what's responsible for constructing the pathway and passing an action set to the scheduler. Notice in this case that some paths come from the network, some paths go through the network. The music that you were hearing is being sourced from an MP3 data file on this system. It's then going to the network. The network is a software module in this case. It's a network interface. We can have as many network interfaces as devices in a mass configuration as we wish. At the moment, there's no sound coming from this system. If I were to add another MP3 player to this desktop, I could do it easily. Notice, when I launch control or players from this window, I have two IP addresses to set. One is the address of the platform where the display is going to appear. The other is the address of the platform which is going to host the application. So in fact, if you look closely, you'll see that this device, which is a hardware mixer, gives a snapshot of the hardware control that's available, not here, whose address is point one, but over there on the system on the floor, which is point two. By simply checking don't use, it defaults to localhost. I can start another MP3 player. This now says localhost. Notice when I did that, well, should have added another software control. Let's see. I don't like the sliders. I wish they were in somebody else's desktop, frankly. And it's worth a note. That's now playing here, following the address that I gave it. And if I now take a look at the configuration, sorry, Anina, I don't know how to display this so that you can touch it, but that's coming next.
Thank you.
If I update this, you'll see that I've now added, let's see, where is this? I've added another MP3 source, and I should be going out to the sound card. should be going out to the sound pad. Maybe it's off the screen. Well, I'm not going to spend more time with this. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. I missed it. It shows the current pathway, this current sound pathway, goes from the source through the MAD codec into a special buffer to the mixer, and then to what we call the audio nexus, the ANX, the OSS interface. The reason I was a little puzzled was an error coming out of the sound card, which of course is because I have the conferencing turned on, and that means that the audio input from the microphone on the desktop is going into that sound card as well. I'm not used to looking at this where there's a through pathway from the sound card. So, this is the media application server. There's one function that I haven't shown. The conferencing sound should be coming out over there. I can't tell. I'm using the microphone here, and I can't quite hear whether. But this device allows local control in a conference. Of the noise level. It's called a noise gate. And that means by raising and lowering this, you're able to control the point at which speech is picked up. And under normal circumstances, which this isn't, we couldn't get the network. We have no outside network access. I would normally run this through another hub. But the way the conferencing application works is that I can show you in part actually from, I guess this is the one thing that I haven't shown. If I now set the mass host to be 192.168.0.2, which is the system over there, and ask the device configuration to be shown on this screen, I then can see on this platform the complement. Well, the complementary set of devices in this network setup. And so I think that, without going into all the details, I think it makes it clear enough from this. There was, as you heard before, sound originating over there, and the network card is involved. I have the conferencing initiated over there. I have an MP3 player. Actually, I have two of them on that platform. And if you take a look at the pathway in the diagram, you can convince yourself that this really shows you exactly how those software devices are being joined. The reason for my putting the amplifier on the other side of the room and pumping the music through it was hopefully to convince you of the quality of the data that's being moved. And for those who came in late, I can show you once more. This is the controller for, I have to be careful. No, I don't like the GUI. We've discovered that's coming here, which is not what I wanted to do. We've discovered as we've worked with this how much more information is necessary to add to the see. To add to the screen, because of the complexity of the network. Let's see if that. That's London Symphony Orchestra playing Berlioz, thanks to the London Symphony Orchestra's media group. They think it's a good system to support. So that's being sourced here. The codec is there, and the sound processing is there. There's one more thing I'd like to show, which in fact is something I've been wanting to show Yanina for some time. I think it's going to take more than a demonstration of distance to make it clear what's happening. But let's see if I ought to be able to do this without closing anything I've got open. Occasionally, because of the problems with this widget, which has the graphic display widget, occasionally it doesn't like to enlarge itself to show this. I'll see what happens. In any event, we call it an accessibility demo, and that really means it's a proof of concept. So this really is a demo. It's setting up a bunch of buckets, as you can see from that screen. And what it's going to allow me to do, except that the sound is going to come out here, which is not ideal. I think that speaks to the issue that you raised yesterday. This gives exquisite control of the text to speech on the platform. In other words, you can move your hand as fast as I can move my hand on that menu. Because of the problems we've had, which I should thank Martin Connell for having spent an hour or two last night trying to help me figure out what happened. We normally use DHCP, but for some reason, and I don't know whether it has to do with GNOME or with Debian, by simply manually setting the IP address between these two machines, having connected them directly, I was unable to get the addressing to work properly. So maybe some of you clever people can see exactly what's happening later. We couldn't see it, and the consequence is I can't send this sound over there. I can start the application there, but I can't control everything from here, which normally one can do. So, except for that, let me now show you if the display likes to do it, which it has recently. Let me now ask what has changed in the configuration. In order for me to show that, in order for me to create the environment for that demo. And it's instructive largely because of the complexity of it and to see that Mass really doesn't care in general about the complexity of things. It continues to work. It works, you heard that. The question is does the graphic, what the graphic display does. So, I think you can hear that clearly enough, yes. It's an interesting exercise. This may take a while. I did this a couple days ago for someone and it took Well, I can also just simply. Okay. We'll see if it comes up. So, what is mass and where did it come from? Is the functionality at least evident? That's a question. Is there anyone who'd like to see me and repeat what I did? Is it clear that I can move music from point to point and to place continuously? And in fact, I've done a lot. Oh, there it is. This is now what the mass configuration, these are the number of mass devices that are currently open in order to support this demo. Now, it's actually instructive. That's a lot. And the system hasn't stopped working. And it won't. It's worth spending a lot of time with that diagram. You can learn a great deal from it. We use it as a diagnostic. It was created as a diagnostic. And what I have Nina up here is a black ground with a bunch of blue boxes and white lines, arrows connecting the boxes. And each of these boxes, one of the software devices, the largest one is the mixer, which is appropriate. And as those of you, some of you may have noticed, as I've added functions, the size of the mixer has grown. And the fact that we have some devices which have a dynamic number of ports, that is to say, where the number of ports can be increased and decreased, is typical of the depth of development that's gone into this application. It's a small application. It runs at the moment on, and has been thoroughly tested, on all of the Solarises, not Intel, excuse me, all of the other Solarises on 32 and 64-bit. The test on the 64-bit Solaris, which is the only number I can give you, I haven't run the same test on Linux, but we could do it. We ran two machines pumping audio data on our open network for 100 hours without dropping a frame. And that's typical of the operation of this. Those of you who visited the XOR booth, Linux World, where I demoed this, have also seen the machines have been up and stable, typically from the beginning of the day to the end, no matter how much playing we do with it. So it runs on the Solarises, it runs on AIX, 32 and 64-bit, it runs on as many Linuxes as we've been able to find. So far that's several releases. It was ported to BSD. It runs on Windows. It's been released by WRQ as part of Reflection X. And we have a direct interface to direct sound on that system. We're constructing an interface for Wine so that Wine can speak to Mass for Windows applications to directly reach the sound card layer. Most recently, it's been rather heavily tested and demoed in an integrated network on LTSP, on the Linux Terminal Server Projects software. It's going to be released, made generally available on that soon. Those of you who come to Frankfurt can see a full demonstration of all these systems networked together and observe that Mass doesn't care, can move data and control freely in a normal network between any of these systems. I was indicating a moment ago that the conferencing demo, there is in fact, and we'll make the announcement sometime soon, we have set up a publicly available server called Matrix on our site that will host conferences. It's a hub algorithm. It will host an arbitrary number of, we haven't tested it beyond 30 or 40 yet, but it easily hosts many conferences. That means that arbitrary numbers of participants, at the moment so far as we know, are able to join a conference as I showed in the window here, and then control the sound levels. That was what I had wanted to do here if I had a network connection. But if any of you are interested, I'll be happy tomorrow to do this up in the network room or someplace here so that you can actually prove me right or wrong. I'm not afraid to try it when I'm plugged in on the network over there. It's been normally very dependable. So these are the kind of features that this provides. Now, you also notice it has something called the, I mentioned RTP. For those of you who are familiar with the RTP protocol, we have a clean version of RTP running on this, which we went through a lot of work to guarantee. The Open Group verified the legality of it. It's under the MIT license. It's the only piece of C++ code that's in MASS. The rest of it is all ANSI C89, from the top to the bottom. The C++ we're gradually moving to C. Matthias, I'm sorry. I can't get
exactly
around it.
Yeah.
He hasn't yet convinced me that I want to go back to C++, but you know, it could happen, I suppose. That the C++ we're gradually moving to C, but we're doing it in this library, which gives us a clean bill of health. There is, to our knowledge, no other C binding of the RTP specification out there, and we did a lot of searching a few years ago. So if anybody is interested in helping participate in that, we'd be very glad to open up the project to participation to get that done. We simply haven't had the manpower to do it yet. But it's our goal to have it entirely in C, and clearly that has a lot of advantages for an application which is as portable as this. We're working on porting it to the IPAC. We also are working with the professional audio community to put it on very small embedded systems. MASS was from the beginning designed to be scalable. It's clear from the diagrams you've looked at that all we have to do is reduce the number of devices or reduce the amount of data that they're transporting in order to embed MASS on a very small system. Most of our testing has been done, that is for the main system, on a 350 megahertz box, for the simple reason we weren't interested in seeing what the high end could produce. I mean, well, yes, we're interested in what it can produce, but we're not interested we're interested in something which is a truly universal application. Now, I mentioned RTP. As those of you may know, RTP has two modes. It can act in a broadcast mode as well as in a point-to-point. And that simply requires, so far as MASS is concerned, a different network interface, as I said. And in fact, it allows then very close control of each of those pathways. MASS gives you very detailed, explicit control of the data paths. So we don't have that in here yet. With luck, we will in a few months. Let me say something more about where MASS came from. MASS was given seed funding by X.org. This started 5 years ago. I was a member of X.org. It was known to the community, had been for a long time, the need that X had for sound. A task group was formed in XOR. Invitations were sent, were broadcast to the Linux audio community, to all of the lists that we knew of. The development group was very strong. We kept track of lists. We invited the participation in XOR, whatever the membership conditions were. We insisted that the process be open. So in fact, if you go back and look at the records of the of that task group that met for over 2 years developing specifications and weekly telephone calls, you'll discover that that was handled in a way that allowed completely open participation at the outset. As Stefan Westerfeld told me later, yes, he received the invitation but decided he didn't want to be a part of a project that was just at its beginning. We tried from the outset to do that. On the other hand, what many of you know, or some of you at least know in this room, I know many do know it, we felt that in order that the technical decisions necessary in order to create something that would be so tight as we needed it to be, that we needed to have a very close development effort. We did not make an effort, I concede, to open it, to make the development process as open a process, say, as GStreamer has been from the beginning. I recognize that has certain social and, well, in a good sense, that has a lot of advantage in the open source community. Owen Taylor, however, agrees that if you're doing something which is technically demanding, it makes sense to have something which at least is a good starting point. This code has been open and available on the media application server site for the last 2.5 years. It's been announced publicly. There's an open development list which, for staffing reasons, we don't keep too active. We would like it to become very active. We hope that also happens soon. So XOR funded the specifications development, and it was determined that an audio server had to be independent of the Windows system. To support X, it needed to be independent. At the same time, the goal was to create this as a standard, and the work in the development was done so that it could become co-released with the X releases and eventually go through the standardization process. For those of you who are not familiar with XOR's procedures, standardization follows release. It follows release and use. This has certainly been the case with Cinerama, as those of you who are familiar with that code base know. I mean, that's the most prominent recent example of that process. So it's been in use for years, and then gradually it's been refined. And now the standards process was finished, I think, on Cinerama about 8 months ago, finally. We have, however, in the meanwhile, done one other thing with Mass, and that is that Mass has been processed by, has been passed through the LSB conformance test, the Linux standard base, with the encouragement and the help of Stuart Anderson. We have passed, in fact, all the conformance criteria, and it has also been packaged, and we expect, well, Stuart expects it could be actually the first application which is formally certified by LSB. So it was very little work to pass it through the conformance tests, and that's because of the underlying architecture and the care in the development of the code. I want to say something about I don't know how many of you noticed, but a week ago, I was called by the head of OpenSound, who said that they had named us their killer app and put us on their website. I thought this was a very generous thing to do. And he said it's perfectly fine with him, despite the fact that they promote OSS, as you know. This is a forefront technology site. He said he thinks they want to encourage this, the use of Mass, and they're interested. He said it's perfectly fine. They think that the development of an ALSA drive, of an ALSA interface is clearly important. We certainly think it's important also. We're using RSS because at the time that we began this 3 years ago, it seemed we didn't feel that the ELSA specification was tight enough. And we were waiting for that to happen. Had it been, we probably would have gone in that direction. We simply haven't had the manpower since to take this step. We certainly intend that. We're not ignoring it. The issue with X is interesting. We do have, the architecture suggests that mass is a synchronizing, integrating media transport layer. That means that if you have an X server on a platform and a mass process on the platform and an X extension to the server, that the X extension can speak to the mass process. And the mass process can be used for synchronization of media data and the management of the audio. Mass is, as you've gathered, a peer-to-peer process. That is, we have these small mass processes which really provide across the network a set of peers which communicate with each other and manage timing dependencies. What I've not shown, but which is operating in this, is that these mass processes look to each other for timing information. And so, in fact, we can dynamically up and down sample test clocks on different machines. And there is a device at the bottom of the screen. Called MC. It stands for Master Clock. The master clock abstracts away from the clocks on the system. So it means that we really, in one place, control however many clocks we need to control. That means at least two. Mass does not require a sound server on a platform on which it's working. In other words, it should be clear from this that it's fully distributed. In other words, if you have computationally intensive functions, you can isolate those on a platform and then distribute that underlying mass process across as many platforms as you need in order to be able to efficiently operate. What does that say about timing and latency? Mass is built so it's very efficient. We can look at performance data. You can look at performance data yourself. Our policy from the outset was, it's up to the user to decide what quality of service he wants. So we've made it possible to control it, and for the user to be able to control it. Not all that functionality is brought up to the surface yet. But as you can see from the distribution of data, it's not very hard to do that. This demo that I did a few minutes ago, which I called our accessibility in principle demo, took 2.5 hours to create from start to finish, and it hasn't been touched since. There's something to learn to program in mass, but it's not that hard. We've tried to make a simple API. One thing I learned from the ELSA API that I decided I really didn't want to emulate, that led me to someone's favorite API calls. There's a mass get and a mass set. And mass get and mass set are used in order to capture and control the parameters on these media devices. What I didn't want to do was end up with an API that had to grow every time you had a new device. And that was really the issue. So the point was, it gave you, in principle, a much, much smaller, in practice, a much, much smaller core API. Also, unlike X, the API was conceived to allow extremely simple linking of the and use of audio in applications. So that I wouldn't want anyone to have to go through what I went through in creating X applications. So there's no reason for it. I didn't want to have to force the creation of another layer of toolkit. So if you look close at the API, you'll see that it's been created in order that it's been constructed in order to allow and encourage a few very simple high-level commands which point to explicit assemblages, we call these constructions. So you can construct an assemblage, you can name it, and then you can call it. One more point. All of these things are dynamically loaded, that's clear. They also can be proprietary, as can applications. In other words, MAS can provide a universal link between an application, a proprietary application, which uses a proprietary device. We think that this kind of application building is important. We want to encourage proprietary application development. I was looking to see if there was anything in particular that I didn't, that I thought was important that I didn't mention. If it isn't too hard to do, I can show you the MAS website. I'm sorry, all I have I only have an HTML file. So I wanted to do two things. I wanted to show you, if I had a moment, the MAS website, so you recognize it. It's called mediaapplicationserver.net. And also to slightly amend Daniel's remark yesterday about Xorg logos, I thought it would be a good idea. Well, I'll do this one first. This is the MAS website. You can reach it from the Xorg site, and for that matter, from your desktop. This is the Xorg site, and in fact, these are Xorg logos. And with one more, stop.
Making a good case for my talk yesterday.
Pardon?
Finding data in the hierarchy, it's making a good case for my talk yesterday.
Wonderful, thank you. found it when starting. Well, I think you're going to have to wait to see it for another time. There is a new XORG Foundation logo, which I was going to end this with, but I'm not going to go there.
Is it a borrow logo? Is it one you also hear?
I'm sorry?
Is it one you also hear as well as see?
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. So I think with that I'll, and yes, we'll correct this. I think that's important to do. So let me stop, and if there are any questions.
Thanks again.
We have time for some questions. Yes.
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about how you see your relationship to the JAP development.
That's easy.
Good.
Mass runs on that. We talked with the JAC people a lot about it. JAC requires and takes advantage of special kernel capabilities. We think that's great. JAC is not adapted to the network. We simply put Mass on the same platform as JAC and then use Mass as a means of communicating across the network. It's a very natural.
It's a good fit.
It's a very good fit.
So
no, we consider that kind of fit very important.
So last time we reach the capabilities of Jack.
Pardon?
Mass can reach the same capabilities of Jack.
Well, Jack has had a lot of support from a lot of very, very clever people. Yeah. And I think to ignore what they've done is really perilous. And I think, actually, this was a point that I tried to make in Kristiansand. I think we need cooperation. I mean, I think that's the point, and this also touches on what Daniel said yesterday. We may have developed Mass, but I'm also on the board of XORG, and I fully support what's going on in Free Desktop. And it seems to me we need a media community whose goal is to create a common solution to take the best of what we've got. Because otherwise open source is not going to succeed. And we need X, and we need the desktops. And I think, frankly, I'd rather work on a part of something than work in a competitive fashion to try to show superiority. That's not the reason I'm doing open source software. I can only speak for myself. I wanted to go to the meeting in April. I was meeting that, I couldn't do it.
More questions?
What kind of data can you stream over the net? Is it only audio data, or could you, for example, put an MP3 source in one computer and decode it on the next one?
You've seen the diagram. All this is doing is pumping. We're simply pumping RTP packets. Mm-hmm. RTP is very generous. It'll take basically anything you give it. Mass will allow you to set up processing at as many points and distribute the processing at as many points as you wish. There's an important note to this. And here's where we differed, or at least in discussions we differed with the GStreamer development group in Guadec in Spain a few years ago when we first met to discuss architecture. And our decision from the beginning was we're not smart enough to create algorithms that allow you to construct these pathways dynamically. They're too hard and they're too delicate. And I've studied, I'm a mathematician by training, and I can tell you, I think I've met my match given the complexity and the subtlety of media requirements. I think a knowledgeable person can do better being able to construct a pathway and then name it and then fix it. And so we've made no effort whatsoever to automate that. Maybe sometime someone will figure out a an expert system that, that can do it. And I think that's what we're thinking about and looking at, but I don't, I think that's not the present. So the point is you can construct these fragmented pathways, and it's not hard to do. And you have to first familiarize yourself with the system.
Another question, what about media framework? Currently you have an MP3 player, but if you want to use it in the desktop, you would need to play all kinds of media files or video. How would mass fit into that? Would you do the decoder outside, or would you write mass modules that would do it?
I would simply add the devices and construct the pathway. That assembler will send it to the scheduler, and the scheduler will process the action list.
What would you think, how complicated it would be to write an octocoder? To use an decoding library to do the decoding in mass? Just a guess.
Well, let me say this about writing decoders. That speaks to part of your question. I think it's important to do this cooperatively. I also think that, that copyrights are something one has to, and licenses are something one has to take a deep breath and face head on. And we have no problem using a MAD codec. On the other hand, the components of the conferencing systems that we have, and some of the components of the data pathway, not the obvious ones actually, we wrote. We, audio experts, you know, and people who were very familiar with protocols wrote. And those are really the subtleties, I think, which are going to carry the day. So the question is, who has the best component? It's easy to wrap a component and stick it in mass. I'm not interested in duplicating anything. None of the pieces that we wrote existed before. We didn't do anything we didn't have to do. And I think, frankly, that there are lots I thought, for example, about the Fraunhofer issue and what you do about legitimate playing of MP3. And this is legitimate. We don't distribute MAD. We have it on the site. People can get it, or we point to it. I've forgotten which way that is at the moment. So that's the way it works with WRQ. They distribute it. There's a note. It says if you want the codec, this is what you do. You press a button, and somebody goes and gets it and plugs it in. So it's trivial to do. However, I think with reasonable distribution, the costs, and frankly, I think the costs involved in those things, whether you like the principle or not, are modest when you distribute them over enough users. I may be wrong, this is my observation at this point. So I think what one wants to write and what one wants to negotiate are two different things, and it seems to me this is where the open source community, if it gets together and really decides it wants to have a program, could really move forward aggressively. I think somehow, frankly, my opinion is, but my opinion isn't going to be decisive in the long run. I think we have to make peace with people who have created proprietary components. And if we provide a path, some means for them to provide proprietary components that can recompense them in some way, but then build systems like this into something much greater, seems to me we're all winners. Does that answer the question? Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of writing something. No. And so far as the media data types are concerned, mass doesn't care.
I was more interested in if I had, for example, to want to write the octocoder in there, and I want to wrap the auto library, how complicated is it to do that? Is it just three lines of code, or is it writing?
There are things to look at. I think it is not hard.
Okay.
And specifically, you're welcome to email Silvio and put it on the table and ask him. He could give you a more precise answer than I could. That's Silvio Nafe, who's some of these objects are his subtle creations. Yes?
I'm especially interested in your RTP implementation, especially in the C++ version. So what payload types do you currently support?
I honestly am not certain where that is at this point, because that worked up to a certain point and then we didn't carry it further. You're welcome to look again. Silvio, he's working at home. So feel free to email. I can give you the address. It's silvio@shiman.com, and he can answer. Or go to the list. You can go to the mass site. There's a mass devel list. I encourage you to send in things. We both get the emails, and we're intent on answering questions. I'm sorry, Mike.
One question.
Yeah. Just one thing. You talked a lot about transferring the data to that network. How you are doing control? How do you control that network? Is it interleaved in the RTP, or how would you set up the network?
How do we set up the network?
Yeah. How do you control it? You have to control all the elements inside, configure them.
I don't understand. I'm not certain exactly what you're asking.
Well, normally, if you're doing such things, you already have data, the data channel, the control channel.
That's right.
Yeah.
An RTP.
Both are in RTP.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, RTP neatly separates that. But we separate it further and inside.
Mm-hmm. In which way?
Well, in order to give the scheduler control of the distribution of the packets.
Yeah.
One short last question.
There's a bit of different transport, especially for control communication and all the technologies RTP. I think TCP is a better solution. Or if you even for the in-stream communication.
Well, this is over TCP.
This is over TCP.
Yeah.
And the in-stream communication, where the data is passed from one control to the other.
It's actually, RTP supports the split TCP UDP transport. And at the moment, I think it's all TCP. I'm not certain. We played with both, and I'm not certain where this is at the moment.
It's all TCP.
Pardon?
It's your. Oh, okay.
Well, that's the part.
Yeah, but the UDP,
the UDP is
here. Pardon? No, the UDP. I, as I told you, I'm not certain whether the UDP has been split out at the moment. Okay.
Okay.
You can take a look at the code, or you can ask slowly. I'm not certain where it stands.
I think we should stop here and have a short break, so thanks again. We will continue at 10 o'clock with the G-Screamer talk.
Thank you.